We're now going to have our Bible reading. Adults, you can look it up in Genesis 37. But boys and girls, you need to just look here at the front because the words are on the screen and Luke will come and read it to us. Thank you.
Morning. Good to see you all. So yeah, boys and girls, eyes on the screen. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 37. It's the beginning of the story of a man called Joseph. So let's read God's word together. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, young people, and everyone really, we've just heard some really, really sad news for this local church family. And perhaps you think the last thing I want to do right now is to listen to what God has to say to me. And sometimes that happens when we feel really sad, when bad things happen, we think, well, I don't want to hear what God has to say to me. But it's really important that when we're going through really sad things, we listen to what our God says to us through his word. And actually, the big thing that we're going to learn this morning is something we all really need to hear this morning. This is the big thing. This is the truth of God's word. God is working for the good of his family. Always. Let me tell you something really important, okay? Let me tell you. Youngsters, this is something you need to hear that's really important. Sometimes, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we go through things that are really sad and really hard. And on those occasions, it's okay to cry. It's okay to say, "Why did this happen?" It's okay for us to say, "That feels like a really bad thing. I don't understand what's going on." That's okay. But this truth that's on the board, this is the reason why it's okay. This is the reason why we can trust the Lord Jesus even through the sad times, the bad times, the painful times. Because it's true that God is working for the good of his family. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the story of a man called Joseph. Now, Joseph is someone we read about in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. And the big thing that we learn from the story of Joseph's life is that God is working for the good of his family. So here's a verse which is right at the end of Joseph's story in the last chapter of Genesis. This is something Joseph says. He's gone through really bad times and hard times and sad things. And he talks to some people who have done some of those horrible things to him. And this is what he says: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You intended it to be bad. You meant it to be bad, but God meant it to be good." This is what we learn through the story of Joseph. You see, the story of Joseph isn't actually just the story of Joseph. It's the story of God's family. And what we learn about God's family in the Old Testament, in Genesis, is true about God's family today. So this is a truth that we can learn and hold for ourselves today. God is working for the good of his family. Now I'm going to need your help, okay? Every time I say the word good, I want you to stick both your thumbs in the air. Can you do this? Can you do it with me? Good. Everyone stick your thumbs in the air. This is the truth that we learn about this morning. God is working for the good of his family. This is something that is true for us today as well. So I want to ask two questions. The two questions are who and how. Who is God's family and how does God work for the good, thumbs up, the good of his family? So the first thing is who. So before we talk about Joseph, we need to learn about Joseph's family. Now who knows what a family tree is? Put your hand up if you know what a family tree is. Okay, a family tree is something that shows you a little bit about who's in your family. So I'm going to show you my family tree. It's not the whole of my family tree, but it's some of it. Okay, here's me. Can you see me on the screen? That's me with the red around me. Now my dad is with Jesus in heaven now, but his name was Philip. So that's my dad, Philip. And my granddad, who's also in heaven, his name is David. Shall I tell you something really cool about my granddad? He went to be with Jesus in heaven on his way to talk to people about heaven. You know that? He was on his way to church to speak to people like this about heaven, and Jesus took him to be with him in heaven. That's something really cool. Anyway, that's my family tree. My granddad David, my dad Philip, and me Luke, and then I've got now a little boy called Zachary. That's how a family tree works. Now I want to show you Joseph's family tree. So here's Joseph. There's Joseph. Now Joseph, he had a really big family. He had lots of brothers. And their dad was a guy called Jacob. Now Jacob's dad, so Joseph's granddad was called Isaac, and their great-granddad was called Abraham. Now Abraham is someone who's really, really important because Abraham is where the family started. So here's Abraham with his beard and his staff. This is where the family started. God spoke to Abraham one day. Abraham wasn't someone who loved God. He didn't know God, but God appeared to him with an amazing promise. He said, I'm going to do good, thumbs up, I'm going to do good to your family. In fact, with Abraham, we find out that God's family is a chosen family. God's family is a chosen family. You see, Abraham, well, he didn't deserve to be picked. There was nothing special about him. But God appeared to him and he said, I'm going to choose your family. I'm going to do good to your family. You know, sometimes when you're at school, if you're still at school, and your teacher wants a volunteer, and she wants someone to help her, or him, and it's a good job, okay, it's a really good job, maybe it's something like, what's a good job? Do you like taking the register to the office? Do you still do that? Is that a good job? Okay, imagine it's that job, and everyone wants to do this job. So what do? You sit up nice and straight, and you keep your mouth closed, you stick your hand in the air, and you say, please pick me. You do everything that you can so that your teacher will pick you. But Abraham, well, he didn't have his hand up in the air. He wasn't begging to be chosen. But God appeared to him and he said, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to do good to your family. And with Abraham as well, we find that God's family is a big family. God's family is a big family. Now, I need a volunteer for this. I'm going to put Abraham away. Go on, Charlotte, let's go. It's a very simple job. All you have to do is come over here and tell me how many grains of sand are in that that tub there. How many grains? None. None is correct. That was very easy. That was the first round. Wait there. Oh. Okay, this is really quite heavy. Okay, same question. One second. Just get these scissors here. Okay, now answer the question. How many grains of sand are in this tub? Can you count them for me? Give it a go. Like individual grains of sand. Can you count how many there are? No? What about if we just put the whole bag in there? It's not coming out very quickly. How many grains of sand are in there? Can you give it a go? Lots. Okay, that's the right answer. Well done. Round of applause. Go and sit down, Charlotte. It wasn't an exact figure, but I'll take it. And that was actually the point that God was making. God said to Abraham, he appeared to him, and he said to Abraham, your family is going to be like sand. Not just sand in a box. He says like the sand at the beach. You know when you go to the beach and it's a sandy beach, not a pebbly beach, and there's sand everywhere? Imagine trying to count all of the grains. Well, God said to Abraham, your family's going to be big. It's like going to be like the sand on the seashore. God's family is a big family. It's full of all types of people. So when we get to Joseph, we find that his family is still chosen. God is working for the good of his family. And it's a big family. Look how many brothers he's got. It's a big family. Did anyone count how many brothers he's got? Caleb. 11 brothers. You're right. There were 12 of them. Imagine having 11 brothers. That's crazy. God's family is a chosen family. It's a big family full of all sorts of different people. People who are not very like each other at all. People who like different things for breakfast, who are good at different kinds of sports, who have different hobbies, who've got different jobs. All sorts of different people are in God's chosen family. And here's the amazing thing, and something that we need to bear in mind this morning of all days, God is working for the good of each and every one of his really big family. God is working for the good of his family. But there's one more thing we need to learn about God's family this morning, and that's this. God's family is a bad family. So I need your down thumbs as well. Can I see your down thumbs? Thumbs down. Every time I say the word bad, I want you to put your thumbs down. Every time I say the word good, I want you to put your thumbs up. You've got the idea. God's family is a bad family. You see, as you read about the family of Joseph, you'll find out that they're not very nice people at all. In fact, in the bit we read earlier, I don't know if you noticed, it says that Joseph's brothers, they hated him. That's a really strong and nasty word, isn't it? They hated Joseph. In fact, they were really, really mean to him as well. It says in the Bible, they couldn't say a kind word to him. Now, all of us will probably know what it feels like when someone's really mean and nasty to us. Has anyone been mean to you? Anyone ever been nasty and unkind? Maybe on the playground? Or in classroom, or at home. It really hurts, doesn't it, when someone says something unkind that's mean and nasty. And that's what Joseph's brothers were like to him. They were always unkind. And we probably all know what it means, what it's like to be mean to someone else as well. Have you ever said something that's not kind to someone? Have you ever been a bit mean and nasty? Well, that's what God's family is like. They're not good. They're not good. They're bad. In fact, as you read about the rest of his family as well, you can open up your book of Genesis in the Bible at the beginning, and you can read all about Jacob, their dad. And you'll find out that Jacob wasn't a very nice man. He was always lying, and he was tricking people, and he was just a bit mean and nasty. And Isaac and Abraham, they weren't perfect either. You see, everyone in God's family is bad. God is working for the good of his family. But it's not because they are good. They are bad. God is so kind because he works for the good of people who are bad. God's family, who are they? Well, they're chosen, they're big, and they're bad. This is the story of the whole Bible. The story of the Bible, it has ups and downs, but as you see God's family, you'll see that God is always working for the good of his family. Just like that verse which we saw earlier, you intended to harm me, but God intended, he meant it for good. God is working for the good of his family. And this is the story of God's family today. God's family is a chosen family. If we're part of God's family this morning, it's not because of anything we've done. It's not because we're special. It's not because we're nice. It's simply because God has chosen us. God's family today is a big family. You know, back in Joseph, how many brothers did he have again? Someone else? How many brothers, Joseph? 11, yeah. You're called Joseph, but you don't have 11 brothers. That was a big family, 11 brothers, and there were sisters as well. But do you know what? Now, God's family is way bigger than that. Everyone in this room who trusts in the Lord Jesus is part of God's family. And there's lots of people across the world, millions of people in God's big family. And it's all sorts of different people as well. Not everyone in God's family is like me. Not everyone in God's family is like you. Even this morning, there are people from different countries who speak different languages, who like different things for breakfast and have different jobs and play different sports and are different in lots of kinds of different ways. And that's a really good thing. God's family is a big family, but God's family is a bad family. Actually, none of us deserve for God to do us good. We are those who go against God and live our own way. But even though Abraham fell over, it's okay. This is the amazing thing, okay? Even though we are bad, if we're part of God's family, we can be sure that God is working for our good. And this is the case even when things don't seem to be going right. As we discover in Joseph's story over the next few weeks, sometimes some really bad things happened. Sometimes it was really hard for him. And yet through it all, God is working for good. And that's what we can be sure about as well. But this leaves me with a bit of a puzzle. So can I see your puzzled faces, your thinking faces? Can you say with me? Thumbs up or thumbs down. Is God's family good or is it bad? Right, God's family is bad. So if God's family is bad, then how can God be working for good? How does God give good things to bad people? And this leads us to our second question. So we've seen who God's family are. How is God working for the good of his family? And here's the answer. You ready? Here's the answer. He works for their good through an unlikely ruler. An unlikely ruler. Now, a ruler is someone who's the boss, someone who's in charge. A ruler is someone that you bow down to. Now, in England, we're really rubbish at bowing. We're really rubbish at bowing. This is a bow in England, okay? That's a rubbish bow. That's not a proper bow. When the Bible talks about bowing, it's talking about this. It's talking about getting down on the ground with your face right above the dirt. And what you're saying to the person that you're bowing down to is you're saying, you're more important than me. You're in charge. You're the boss. That's what it means to be a ruler, for someone to bow down to you. And here, we realize why Joseph is an important part of the story. We've heard about his big family, but now the focus is on just one man, this man called Joseph. Joseph is the unlikely ruler through whom God is working for the good of his family. Now, I need a Joseph. I need a Joseph. Do you know what? We have a Joseph here, so I think Joseph should be our Joseph. Come up, Joseph, onto the stage. Just stand about there. Yeah, why not? And I'm going to give you a pillow. Just put that there. Do you want to have a little lie down? Okay. Is that how you sleep at home? Right, Joseph, go to sleep. It's not often that I want people to go to sleep during my sermons, but this is an exception. Because Joseph, the man in our story, Joseph one day goes to sleep. And when he goes to sleep, he has a dream. And in his dream, there are 11 brothers. So I'm going to need 11 more volunteers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come up. All come up. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All come up. Right, I'm going to give you one of these. You need to stand with it this way out. Okay, just take one of them. Take one of them. You give those out to your friends. Take one of these, Stanley. Right, and stand along the front there. Stand along the front, facing outwards. Okay, now what I'm giving you here is a picture of some wheat. So stand all the way along the front. Move over. That's it. You got the idea. Actually, Joseph, you're going to need one of these as well. Okay, now this is a picture of some wheat. There you go, next to you there. That's beautiful. Okay, now wheat or corn is something that grows in fields, okay? And this is what Joseph's dream was about. In Joseph's dream, he was in a field and there was corn. Now back in those days, they didn't have combine harvesters and they didn't have tractors. So when they wanted to kind of gather the wheat in, what they'd do is they'd take individual strands, something like this, right? And then they'd tie it up with a piece of string. Okay, so that's what that's a picture of. It's a picture of corn and tied up with a piece of string. Now, in Joseph's dream, as he was dreaming, suddenly Joseph's sheaf stood upright. So you're going to need to stand up, Joseph. That's it. And all the other sheaves, they gathered round Joseph and they bowed down on the ground. And I don't want any rubbish bows. I want you to get right down on the ground. There you go. This is what happened in Joseph's dreams. That's perfect. It was crazy. It didn't seem to make any sense. What God was saying was that Joseph was going to be in charge. He was going to be the ruler. He was going to be the boss. And all his brothers were going to bow down on the ground to him. That's unlikely. Joseph was one of the younger ones. He was one of the smaller ones. They hated him. And do you know what the brothers did? They said, no way. No way am I going to bow down to you. In fact, the Bible says they hated him all the more because of his dream. They said, you're not in charge. You're not the boss. I'm not going to listen to you. Then Joseph went back to sleep. And the brothers all stood up. And the brothers turned their sheets of paper around. Because Joseph had another dream. And in Joseph's second dream, there were stars. And there was also a moon, and a moon, okay? The sun and the moon stood for the mum and the dad, and the stars all stood for one of the brothers. And in Joseph's dream, Joseph stood up, and the stars and the sun and the moon, they bowed down to the ground in front of Joseph. And the point was exactly the same. The point was, one day Joseph is going to be in charge. He's going to be the ruler. And the brothers, they were jealous. They said, no, I don't want you to be in charge. We don't even like you, Joseph. No offense. They said, we don't like you. You're not going to be in charge. I'm never going to bow down to you. But that's what God was saying through the dream. He was saying that one day, Joseph was going to be the unlikely ruler. And God would be working for the good of his family through Joseph, the unlikely ruler. Thank you very much, brothers. The brothers can all go down. Joseph, stay with me. Thank you. Just leave them on the ground, wherever. Okay, Joseph is going to continue. Look at that. We've got some real-life brotherly hating there. That illustrated the point perfectly. Thank you, Michael. Not to sleep yet, because I'm going to need you in a minute. I need to talk to you about Joseph, because Joseph was a little bit different from the other brothers. Joseph was an unlikely ruler. In fact, Joseph was someone who was loved by his father. His father, Jacob, he loved all of the sons, but his favorite was Joseph. He really did love Joseph. In fact, he loved him so much that he gave him a special coat. Maybe it was full of different colors. Maybe it just had lots of ornaments on it, but it was definitely a special coat. But because he got a special coat from his dad, his other brothers, well, they hated him even more for that. They hated him. So he was loved by his father, but I'm afraid, Joseph, you are hated by your brothers. In fact, do you know what? They hate you so much that one day they decided to do something that was really bad. They decided they were going to kill Joseph. And they plotted and they planned. And they decided how they were going to kill Joseph and leave him here on the ground. They decided how they were going to kill Joseph and how they were going to make it look like an animal had attacked Joseph. That's a really bad thing to do. It didn't look like God was working for the good of his family. Now, in the end, thankfully, they didn't kill Joseph. You're all right. You can get back up. They didn't kill him, but they still hated him so much that they took him to a place over here. Let's go over here, Joseph. And they sold him as a slave, and he ended up in a place called Egypt. So you just hang out in Egypt for a bit. Joseph was a slave in Egypt. That's a really bad thing. It looks like God is working for the bad of his family. It looks like everything is just going bad and wrong. But what's the big truth that we're learning? Who can say it with me? Let's all say it together, shall we? God is working for the good of his family. And do you know what? That was still the case with Joseph over here. In fact, one day this Joseph would end up saving the lives of his brothers. The lives of those who hated him so much that they were going to kill him over here. The lives of the brothers who hated him so much that they sold him as a slave all the way to Egypt. God was going to work for the good of his family and end up saving their lives. Do you remember Joseph's dreams? Joseph's dreams about the corn and then about the stars who were all going to bow down to Joseph. And the point was that one day Joseph was going to be in charge, he was going to be the ruler, and his brothers were going to bow down to him. Well, Joseph spent a long time in Egypt, and all sorts of bad things happened to him in Egypt. In fact, he was a slave. That's a bad thing. Then he got chucked in prison for something that he didn't do. That's a bad thing. But when he finally got out of prison, God made sure that he had a really good job. In fact, he became one of the rulers in Egypt. He was a bit like the prime minister. He was in charge. Very good. Joseph was in charge over there in Egypt, okay? But over here, back where the brothers lived, something really bad happened. You see this grain that they were harvesting, all of this corn? One day, it ran out, and they had rumbly tummies. And they went to the supermarket, and there was nothing left. And they went to the fridge, and there was nothing in it. And they began to hurt with their bellies. And it was actually worse than that. It wasn't just that they were a bit hungry. They were actually about to die because they were going to starve to death. And so the brothers, they decided, well, what can we do? Let's go to another country and ask them for some food. Let's go all the way to Egypt for some food. And so the brothers, they set off to go to Egypt. And it's been such a long time since they've seen their brother Joseph. They think he's probably dead. We don't know where he is. They don't recognize him. They don't recognize that Joseph is now the prime minister, that he's in charge. And so as the brothers come to Egypt, what do? The Bible tells us that they get down on the ground and they bow down to Joseph. They say, please, can you help us? Please, will you help us with some food? Joseph's dreams had come true. Joseph was the ruler and the brothers were bowing down. Thank you very much, Joseph. You can have a sit down. Round of applause for Joseph. Oscar-worthy performance, I think. You see, God is always working for the what? God is working for the good of his family, and that was the case then as well. You see that verse we were talking about earlier, where Joseph said, and it was to his brothers that he said it, the brothers who had been really mean, who had tried to kill him and then sold him into slavery, he said this to them, you intended to harm me, you meant to harm me, but God meant it for good, the saving of many lives. God was working for the good of his family, and he ended up saving the lives of the brothers. Even when it looked like everything had gone bad, God is working for the good of his family. And that's not the end of the story. You know Joseph's brothers. How many brothers did he have again? Someone else? 11 brothers, okay? That's a lot of brothers. One of those brothers was a guy called Judah. And Judah, he had a child, and then he had a grandchild, and then a great-grandchild, and a great-grandchild, great-great-great-great-great-great-great. And then further down the family tree, a man was born whose name was Jesus. Jesus is part of Joseph's family. And Jesus is the unlikely ruler through whom God is working for the good of his family. Jesus is someone who is loved by his father, but hated by his brothers. He was hated by those who should have loved him, who should have accepted him as part of their family. But they hated him. In fact, do you know how much they hated him? They hated him so much that they planned how they were going to kill him. They hated him so much that they sold him for silver. And just like Joseph, that everyone thought he was dead. But actually, Jesus did die. You see, Jesus died on the cross. He didn't escape from death. Jesus died on the cross. And at the cross, it looked like everything had gone bad. It looked like everything had gone wrong, but what are we learning? Let's say it again together. God is working for the good of his family. And just like Joseph, Jesus ends up saving the lives of his family. You see, you and I, we're like this, aren't we? What are we? Say it out loud. What are we? Bad. We deserve bad. We deserve bad for all of the times that we have been jealous, like the brothers. All the times we've hated, like the brothers. All the times that we've been mean. All the times where we've said to Jesus, no, I'm not going to bow down to you. You're not going to be in charge. You're not the ruler. We deserve for God to give us what is bad. But at the cross, Jesus took everything that was bad on himself. He took all of my bad, all the punishment that I deserve for what was bad on himself. So that God can give me... Let's try that again. So that God can give me good. You see, that's how God can give good things to bad people, because of Jesus and what he's done on the cross. As we trust in Jesus, he pays the punishment for what we have done that is bad, so that we can be treated as those who are good. This is why it's the best family in the world to be a part of. This is why we can have hope in the face of the terrible circumstances that we face. Even in the face of death, we can have hope because of the cross of Jesus, where we can know life. And so the question is, this is the last question. You've done very well to listen so far. But here's the question. If this is what God's family is like, if God's family is a chosen family, a big family, and a bad family, if God's family is a family for whom he is always working for their good, then how can I be part of this family? How can I be part of this family? And the answer is this. We become part of the family as we bow down to Jesus, the ruler. You see, Jesus is the unlikely ruler. Just like Joseph, no one thought that much of him. They didn't think he was that special. They hated him so much that they planned to kill him. They sold him as a slave. All of those things they did to Jesus. And yet he is the one through whom we can be part of the family. And just like the brothers, we don't really want to do that. Perhaps we think, well, I don't want anyone else to be in charge. I don't want to bow down to you, Jesus. I want to live for myself. I want to do my own thing. But to become part of God's family, we need to bow down to Jesus and say, sorry, I'm sorry for the times where I've tried to be in control. Help me to live with you as the ruler. Thank you that you died so that I could be forgiven. That's what it means to be part of God's family. And if we are already part of God's family, do you know what we need to do? Does anyone know what we need to do if we're already part of God's family? We need to bow down to Jesus, the ruler. We need to say, Jesus, you're still in charge. You see, just like the brothers, there are times where I am really jealous of Jesus. I want to be in charge. I want to choose what I should and shouldn't do. So it's things like we think, well, no, I shouldn't really be watching that TV program, but I want to anyway. Or we say, Jesus, I know that you say that I should obey my mom and my dad, but I don't feel like it, and I think they're wrong. Or we say, Jesus, I know that you want me to be nice to that person that everyone else is mean to and to be their friend, but people might think I'm weird if I'm friends with them. There's all sorts of different ways, and there'll be others for different age groups, where we try and be in charge, where we decide that I want to be in control, not Jesus. He's not the ruler, I am. And so what it means to be a child in God's family is to bow down to Jesus time and time again and say, Jesus, you're in charge, not me. You get to decide what's right and what's wrong. Please help me to live with you as my ruler. That's not something that is easy. It's not something that comes naturally. But can I tell you, it really is worth it. This family that we've talked about this morning is the best family to be a part of. It's the best family because we can be sure that God is working for the good of his family. And we can be sure that when Jesus returns, or when it comes our time to go to be with him, we can be sure that we'll be with him forever in a place which is always good and never bad. And that's the reason we can have hope. Even when we go through sad times, even as a church family, as we deal with things that are difficult and it looks like everything is going bad, this is the promise of God's word which we must stand on today. God is working for the good of his family. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you speak to us through it exactly what we need to hear. Please would you help us to trust the truths that we find there. Help us each, whether it be for the first time or again, to bow down to Jesus the ruler and say, you're in charge, not me. Help us to trust that you are our sure foundation for our times. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.